Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Hesitates to believe in the all-knowing being. We can see history, our first great country, made a lot of mistakes along the way. Now we see.
Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak. Welcome to Not Just Talk. I'm your host, Michael Hameen, and you're listening to Not Just Talk on AM360.org. We wish you Ramadan Mubarak, the blessings of Ramadan, and the hope that any trials and struggles that you're going through, that Allah is helping you manage those life struggles, and that Allah is aiding and assisting all of us to understand how to better serve His will and plan for His world and His people. And with that kind of understanding, with that knowledge, we can navigate with His help, with the Creator's help, the life circumstances that we meet from day to day. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you are experiencing a blessed Ramadan, and we invite you to share your reflections, what's going on with you and yours. I'm looking for some wonderful things to come out of this Ramadan, because it's just the way we started. Allah has aligned everything in such a way where the Muslim world began on the same page. You know, we've had some struggles with that over the years, you know, beginning together. But this year, Allah has not only aided and assisted us with that, but also aligning the three great religions and their worship, the Christians and the Jews are celebrating. Every Ramadan is different, but this has been a really different experience for me. I was talking with a friend and colleague about the fact that both of us used to fast physically, you know, not eating or drinking, and the difficulty for some. I've recognized that certain health issues won't allow me to physically not eat or drink during the daylight hours. But God willing, with his help, to follow the other disciplines. And those disciplines call upon us to be a better human being. And I've heard a lot of advice in that regard, to not make comparisons, comparing yourself to others. But the best focus is to focus on comparing yourself, being better than you were yesterday or the day before. Improvement, self-improvement, and the focus and the energy is directed towards we becoming better individuals ourselves, rather than looking at what others are doing, you know. So the mic is open. You're welcome to make comments. I've been thinking about a past guest, Patrick Lumumba, and he shared the mic with us. He's a member of the Mississippi Black Liberation Movement, and there are a number of things going on in Mississippi, Tennessee, as well as being challenged politically. And if you'd like to talk about your thoughts about the political environment here in America, in your particular state or in the other states that are in the news, you're welcome to do so. Education is also one of the things that we're looking at in terms of, really, let me just step back. The focus, in my opinion, should be on we as individuals, the African-American community in particular, but citizens of America in general, taking greater accountability for what's going on in our lives, in our cities and communities, you know, being more accountable. I remember when I lived in Birmingham, I asked, I happened to be acquainted with the comedian Roy Wood's father, and I counted him as a friend. He kind of like took me in right away. He had authenticated a radio program called One Black Man's Opinion. It was not just a local WAGG radio station, the station owned by A.G. Gaskins, but he had several other stations that he was sharing his program on, as well as he was a communications professor, or the head of the communications department at Miles College. And I was asking him about, and this was over 10 years ago. I was asking Roy Wood Sr. What he thought about what was going on. And he told me, you know, there are times when the good have to suffer right along with the bad. And I thought about that. And I said, well, okay, well, we are no stranger to suffering. But suffering can be relieved when we understand the causes of it, and when we understand that we are agents of changing our lives and our environment, then we can step up to the plate, so to speak, and do what's necessary, what we see to be necessary, to improve our situation individually as well as personally. So I had a conversation a little earlier this afternoon, and the conversation was with a dear friend, and his sister has joined us on a number of occasions and shared her thoughts. And we were talking, and she was sharing with me. Hold on just a minute. I'm sorry, I'm back. And we were talking about the circumstances around the African American situation in general here in America, and a little touched upon a little bit of what was going on in the country. And we've got challenging times ahead, as Dr. King told us in one of his speeches. They're challenging times ahead, but we can't allow fear and emotionalism to cloud our vision or to blind us in terms of accountability. There are things that we can do to make our situation and circumstances better. And oftentimes I've shared the need for us to have a sober unity, a coming together to address the issues, the common issues and common concerns that we have in front of us. And it's not going away. Things are not going to go away. You know, we can't be, like they say, the ostrich sticking their head in the sand. We can't hide from. Creator doesn't want us to hide from circumstances that are challenging us, because life is designed to give us muscles. Spiritual muscles, physical muscles, intellectual muscles, social muscles, and that's just the nature of life. You know, we have to deal. We have family members that oftentimes we have difficulty with, you know, in terms of communicating or in terms of cooperation. So do you think it's going to be any different with neighbors or those outside of our group? You know, that's just one of the challenges that human beings have to deal with. We have to address one another. Dr. King talked about, you know, the fact that we would have to intelligently deal with one another, or that we would perish as fools. You know, our lack of cooperation, our lack of finding common grounds to deal with. And we understand that there are a lot of social and cultural forces in the environment that are fanning the fuel of tribalism, fanning the fuel of people distancing themselves from one another and looking more towards what our differences are instead of our common human family makeup. You know, when you identify human beings in a family, it's a lot harder to find ways to separate yourselves, you know, intentionally not want to cooperate, intentionally not want to address issues that are common to our, not just getting along, but common to our physical survival, you know, black people. You know, we've got problems in America, but where are you going to go? Yeah, I hear these entertainers talking about going to Africa, but you need to take another look. Africa's got its own problems. Africa could use some help from individuals in America that have the wherewithal to help them see how to solve their own problems if they're open to it. You know, a lot of people might not be aware, but in terms of the group, what's called the diaspora, the group of African peoples that whose origins come out of Africa, we have more education. That is African Americans. We have more education. You can pull it up. More education, more potential wealth. You know, they're always, you know, what is it called? The Urban League. They often are, every year they come out with statistical analysis of the African American community. And for years they've told us that our potential economic money numbers are in the trillion dollar range, and that's potential because we're not using it in a sober minded way. You know, the money comes in from whatever sources of income that we have, but the money quickly goes out of the African American community faster than most other peoples. You know, European Americans, Asian Americans, Latino Americans, they're able to maintain the utility of their income within their social group more than we are. And there are reasons for that, you know. The fact of the matter, and this is not an excuse, because we still have to be accountable for our lives and the lives of our children. But we've got a history. You know, there never was a Negro or a black man in America or African American. You know, that didn't exist until chattel slavery. And the purpose of bringing African people to America for slavery was to have that energy, that labor, serve the interests of those that had enslaved our ancestors. And so there was a conditioning that took place. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that, you know, the condition is still there in terms of dysfunction, you know, not functioning as a healthy human being, a healthy member of the group. You know, there's still issues that we have connected with that history. But that's not to excuse. That's just to understand, to be conscious and aware that there are certain things that we have had introduced into the life of our group that other peoples are not troubled with, are not bothered with, you know. we were conditioned to help other people get up and become established in America, and to find it very difficult to do the same for ourselves, to do for self. And with that awareness of the social conditioning that brought that about, then we can meet the challenges, you know. The same creator that helped the Hebrew boys and girls get out of their torturous situation, the same creator that helped the Slavs, the Slavic people who were European slaves under another people, the same creator that helped all people that have been under oppression come out of that oppression is the one who has worked in the favor of the oppressed, and he hasn't changed. He's still there. You know, I lived in Selma. We would say God is still in the blessing business. And if you don't have any tests, no tests, no testimony. So we just have to accept the fact that life is not designed for us to be ripe tomatoes, you know, getting riper and riper and softer and softer. Life is designed to toughen us up, to give us the mental muscles, the moral muscles, the muscles that, in terms of our spirituality. The same creator who originated the human family is the one who will help us. We are part of that family, and he extends his help to those who are oppressed. You know, scripture tells us that there's no petition. There's nothing in the way of the one who is being oppressed between him and his Lord. So, you know, we ask for what we need, and then don't just fold your hands and, you know, go into a position of static waiting. No, ask for what you need and then go out and get it, to pursue, you know, questioning. Okay, where is it? How do I find what I need? What area do I look in, you know? All of the great accomplishments, social accomplishments, came about by first people curiosity, looking to seek out what they needed, asking the questions, well, what is it that I need? Where can I find it? What's inside of me that I can mine, M-I-N-E? You know, like you have a diamond mine or a gold mine, you know, you have to do work to get the diamonds and the gold out of the ground. So how do I extract from myself what I need to be a better, a stronger, a more useful, productive human being? Where do I go to find the healthy information, healthy knowledge, to help me make wiser choices? So the line is open. Press 1 to come into the conversation. Again, you know, we're in the month of Ramadan. It's a very special environment when you have the hearts and minds of thousands upon thousands of people, not just here in America, but thousands upon thousands of people in the world who are focusing on a traditional recurring period of discipline and obedience to God. That focus creates a very special environment, obedience to the Creator, and with the purpose not that we can give the Creator anything except our obedience. And with that focus, we can gain much. And as Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, said, as I understand it, if you're fasting, but you're not seeking to improve your human life, then you're just going hungry and thirsty, because there's a focus, there's an aim and a purpose to the fast, and that is to be a better servant of Almighty God, his will and plan for the world. And that means you and I improving ourselves, improving our relationships with one another and with the world. You know, we're, as far as I know, we're the only way of life religion where the Creator says to us in Scripture that you should go after the material aspect of life. Seek with the means that God has made available to you the afterlife. Okay, well, there's so many spiritualized people that are looking to get theirs in heaven. That was what the Negro was told. Don't worry about down here on earth. You get your milk and honey. You get your milk and honey in the sweet by and by when you go to heaven, if you go to heaven. That's what our ancestors was told, grandmas and grandpas and aunties and great aunties, great, great, great aunties. But the Quran says, go after the material that, and it specifically uses the language you, speaking to the individual. You have a share of this material life. And the problem is that we were not told this in clear, specific language like the Quran does. And so the 1% got a lot of people's share. You know, materially focused individuals that have a large portion of the wealth of the world and the wealth of America, they moved out with strategies, strategic planning and strategic psychology to attain the material resources that many of us weren't using our mental and physical muscles to go after. That was their focus. But in Al-Islam, in Islam, God tells us that each and every one of us has a share of this material life. And we are told to go get it, go after it. You know, it's there for your taking. And there's a responsibility that goes with that as well. You know, we see a lot of the American public has been reduced to a consumer mindedness, just spend, and it's kind of a joke, but it's not funny. They talked about consumption. Your consumable income. Some of you know what that language is in terms of income that you have available to just use up in consumer spending. I can't think of it now. But anyway, you're welcome to talk about what you like. This is open mic Thursday. We invite you to join us. I see the chief executive director is in the queue, and we would like for you to press one and share with us where we are with the Ramadan telethon. We have, during this period of focus on obeying God and being told the reward for that is rewards that are left up to the Creator. There's no counting the amount of blessings that we received in this month. So we've got our CEO of Community Wide Shura Conference with us. Welcome, Sister Martha Naila Abdullah. Come on in.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam. Welcome.
Ramadan Mubarak to you and everyone else. Michael, so wonderful to be here. Oh, praise be to Almighty. Yes, thank you. And to everyone, you know, Michael, what I'm really thankful for, wow, you know, when we speak about the three positions of fasting, the, every 10 days and the 10 first 10 days being that of the mercy of Almighty God, I know I was saying it, and everyone, please forgive me. I was saying it, the mercy of Almighty God, and then going through the emotions of really asking Almighty God for forgiveness, even during the time of mercy. You know, you felt that overwhelming consumption of knowing that I need Almighty God's mercy. And then going into the forgiveness period in the next second 10 days and saying, okay, you know what? I don't even know what all I need to be forgiven for. Let me just, God, please just forgive me for what I know and what I don't know. And then coming into now this deliverance, we say, period. And you really see, especially when you're exercising those muscles of sincerity and really not wanting to backbite and not wanting to expose situations with people that you could, but you wonder, like, what benefit would it be then that for you? Or even say something to someone in defense of yourself, and you know it's going to take you into another character, that makeup that you don't want to be in, you know, just shy of being angry, but aggravated. And then, so you find yourself really not having to defend, you know, it just rolls off because you've gone through the exercise. And so I'm thankful. I'm so thankful to Almighty God to be in this moment and to appreciate the blessings from Almighty God, even in other people that I've been connecting with. So now, on to our telethon. The telethon, I think everyone is moving on a slow pace because we said the month, right? And they say, when does the telethon end? And I said, oh, no, you can go ahead and send in whatever you're going to send in. Please, we're at 3850, everyone. We would think that the longer time would mean that the 10,000 would be over. We'd be up and above that 10,000. But we're at 3850. So we say, praise be to Almighty God for those who are continuing to send in their monthly recurring amount, and for those who have made their one-time donations, praise be to Almighty God. The sustainability is there. For CWSC, and just know that CWSC is truly the community-wide Shura Conference. And we're always going back and reading the bylaws that were established for, and it's online. Anyone wanting to go online and look at, you can go to our organizing papers, and you can see that when you go to CWSC.us, again, CWSC.us. And we truly pray that we are having as much transparency as possible. We are working on our financials, getting those documents to be put on the website as we had started in 2015, I believe, 2016, doing such. And other information that's coming forth now. But we're really going to address the 50-year Human Family Strategic Planning. And Michael, thank you for your question on Saturday, which prompted me to know that as a preface, they understand the explanation of at any given point in time of reference that we look at that is 50 years before and 50 years back. So if we go to 1800 or 1900 and look at that and say what was happening, then we look 50 years before and then 50 years in front of what came out from that. But as far as now, we can only look forward in what we prepare for, but we don't know what it will be like. So 50 years ago is what we can see where we were, what we've come through. And likewise, when we deal with anything, and we're continuing, we're always, our board of directors, we're studying as we're looking at divvying up the United States into a certain particular corridor, such as the East Coast, the Central, and then the West Coast. And whoever wants to work with us on this, it's a lot of painstaking time, consuming process, but we're going to do it, God willing. And I'm referring to in any city, such as take the Tampa Bay area, and that area is a compilation of many cities. But what we want to do is address what's the population, not necessarily for ethnicity's sake right now, but for the population, and then looking at the economic, Michael, straight to the point of the income. What is it like? And since we say in our mission statement that we want to aid those who are less fortunate, those in disadvantaged communities, we can't do that unless we penetrate those communities to find out how they're working, what's working with them, for them, what's being presented, accessibility to work, accessibility to farming, growing your own food, accessibility in the education thereof, and accessibility to technology and other things. It may be seen as being fruitful, but the accessibility of it. And if you're in prison and you get out and you're returning to your neighborhood, how does that look? Who's arming themselves to say, let's go through that process with them? We're not just going through mercy, forgiveness, and deliverance just for the sake of, I think, of ourselves individually. This is a community effort. And when we see that, who needs mercy more so than those who have wronged their own souls and have wronged their communities, their families? So if we apply that process.
If I may.
Yes, sir. Please.
You brought to my mind resource allocation in terms of how our funds are meted out, and
uh-huh.
I'm looking at it within the framework of the producing of entities that will be economic producers, production engines, rather than, a heavy allocation in terms of charity. It's important, but if we look at engines of productivity, when we were in the Nation of Islam, we had what we call fishermen. We were told to be like Jesus called upon the men to be fishermen of men. And we mm-hmm. were sent out to fish. And we oftentimes used a broad net. And in that analogy, we brought some of everything into the temple, I remember in D.C., how we had a number of folks that came in that were very productive, but we also had numbers that came in with social issues, social problems, psychological problems. And I'm just saying in terms of the allocation of resources, this is why I believe the Imam Muhammad told us to focus on community building. That when we got the infrastructure of community, how that infrastructure would represent us, speak for us, and do a lot for us in terms of us properly representing ourselves in bricks and mortar. Now this program is called Not Just Talk. Well, we got to do more than talk, but we focus the name of the program Not Just Talk, but because we have to have sober conversation in terms of us moving forward. And we appreciate what you're doing, and I'll stop there.
I mean, and truly, once you have the content in a manner, structured in a manner, then a system, a process, then once you build the building, the operations are going to already manifest themselves, even greater. But the population exists already, and because it does, you look at 0 to 20-year-olds. What do you have in, what are you expecting to have in place for them? They can't just be, you know, moving about and then we jump on the train later. No, we have to study it. We have to see. And everything for the last 50 years, if we look back just now at the last 50 years and ask ourselves, we're talking the human family. So even if there was a nucleus of a city, and I'll just say St. Petersburg, for example, and if I know the young, the 0 to 20, the children being born, babies being born, and the ones who are already 20 years old, they've already gone through high school, or did they go, they are somewhere, they're living. And then we look at the ones beyond that, 21 on up to 40, where they're at an age, they should be the ones who are giving more to that zakat system, that process of making the monetary system work in the whole area, the production cycle. Is there for food, clothing, and shelter, for education, the welfare of the whole system, and what do we call a low income? What's considered low income? What's the growth product that's being produced? How is it, you know, what's the chart? What are people paying for certain services and for certain items? That's where we began to weigh to out what you have. Can it buy what is being sold? Because if something was a dollar, you know, if something costs a dollar, but before 50 years back, and now it costs $10, but it's the same item, and your income back 50 years ago was such and such, you could afford that $1. Now you can't afford that $10, and you're making even more.
Yeah.
So we have to lay all of that out on the grid.
Yes. Can you put a pin right there? We're kind of behind taking public service announcements. We'll be back after these messages.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain International is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports a healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Cereal Conference and AM360, in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
And we're back with more of Not Just Talk on am360.org. We have a Community-wide Shura, to Martha Naila Abdullah, sharing with in regards to the telethon and your giving, sacrificing to share some of your income to help us with worthy cause. Community-wide Shura conference establishment and AM360.org communications entity. So the mic is yours again.
All right. And thank you, Mike. And I want to add to what we're saying about putting systems in place so that they can be reproduced. And, of course, you always have to have, you know, like you say, not just talk. You have to have a place, a location where it can be seen. And that's why I point to the Tampa Bay area Tampa Bay area and the Tampa Bay Area Muslim Association and our so alignment with the Interfaith Tampa Bay. And being executive director for CWSC, I know it's also important to be an intricate part of the community in which I live. And praise be to Almighty God that is so. And being on the Interfaith Tampa Bay, I'm lead coordinator for social justice. Now, in social justice, takes me right to the part of what I was beginning to speak about. We as a human family have we look at the symptoms of the injustices, and so in doing that, we also have to step back and look at the causes, and of course applying being very strategic in understanding. When we read Quran, we're reading Almighty God's revelation. And when we read God's revelation, we have to also ask the question, how did we get into this misfit or this dysfunctional situation where all these symptoms are appearing? And they seem to be appearing more and more, even though ones go through the court system and get charged with certain things for being offenders of the human rights. So, but I still ask the question. And I'm right now in the midst of studying the Bible to help me gauge, to stay abreast of why unconsciously things are happening. And so when we read Surah 18 every Friday, inshallah, God willing, and definitely during this month, we read Surah Al-Kahf, and we can see where the division occurred. For myself, I can sense it when Prophet Moses is saying about where the fish jump into the water, and I say that's water, but then they retrace themselves, but their footsteps, as the translator used those words. So we understand though that that's where our lives began to take a turn away from the path of being a servant of Almighty God. That's the utmost goal of every human being. That's the goal that every human being is to have. So I reckoned with myself and said, then if that's the case, to be a servant of Almighty God, how do you serve? Who do you serve? Where do you serve? And that's the question we have to ask ourselves in our areas of where we live. And then that in terms of being a servant of Almighty God, because as you pointed out, we can't give God, I'm saying it my way, we can't give God anything but our obedience. And our obedience comes right back around to being obeying the laws of the land, obeying the laws of God first, which includes the laws of the land if they're upright. So the process, asking the questions, the who, what, when, where, why, and how. And in answering those questions, we can't help but ask ourselves, okay, what am I doing? Who am I? Okay, I know I'm a servant of Almighty God. How do I express that? And look at the injustices. So going back to the Bible, Genesis, just reading that part, I can see where there's a lot of domestic violence in the reference of what's been translated. Now, I'm not reading the Hebrew, but just reading the translator wordings of it is giving all these descriptions of, you know, the prostitution, homosexuality, lust, and the defiance within the family and love and hatred. And so the relationships are so great in that the human family coming out from that will truly find itself distraught or try to, you know, is already covered with shame, you'd say. But what stood out to me was the names of the family, what held the families together by the names, and then how they territorially went into different lands. And here we are today, still we are acquiring land. We're still doing many of the things that were done then. Against ourselves, and then we're doing some good things. There were good things done then too. So we ask a question again. How do we stop the rolling train? I'm saying it now. How do we stop this moving train with all these symptoms, these injustices? So when you see the train moving, you have to step away. The train is going to continue to go, but we have to look at those newborns, 20 years old, and go through the age processes of the population, see what we have in common, see what we can do to supply information and connections. Make the connections. Don't just be from the talking point of giving information out and already giving information as though we are sick, yes, but we are healthy as well. There are those of us who are healthy. So we have to talk to both of the mediums, the sick and the healthy, and do things that will prevent illnesses, do things that will prevent mental illnesses. And so just this evening, I was just on the phone before dialing in with my sister, who's well-versed in studying the Bible. And we had the most beautiful conversation. And where I was asking questions or where I was indicating what I had read, and she was helping me understand that. And then where I was able to come with, praise be to Almighty God, with Imam honorableness of Imam Warsi Muhammad, with his logic. And she was able to accept it because she's not on a fixed horse that says, we're right, what I've read is right, and da da da. Nope. And I thank Almighty God for her listening and my listening. And we're able to concur. We just simply said we need to find a better way of living and a better way of understanding. And we see the erring in when we apply an image to Almighty God, definitely. And align God having a son or daughter or mother or father, you know, that is not the way. And so when we start there and realize our faith that we need to have in the Almighty in the proper way, and when we realize that our belief system that comes out from that faith, that belief system is how we perform, shows our belief. And so we have to question our belief. Do we really believe? And how does our system match up? So no one can fix anyone else. We all have to step forward and really be willing to do what is necessary. And so we're CWSC is asking everyone to really look at where we live and what is being done, what services are being geared to the people in need, and what are we doing to make sure that it is appropriately being done. Because if we maintain homelessness, and we keep saying we're out to help a homeless situation to not be in existence as much as it is, or we see deprivation, you know, children not knowing how to read or children not, whatever the case may be. And there are institutions that are aligned to say they're helping that not be in existence, then we have to question it. But when we question it, we have to be ready to supply some kind of a deed to make it not be in existence. I'll stop right there, Michael. I mean, because it is a broad base, but it is also internal that can be performed by everyone, inshallah.
Thank you. The community-wide shura is a focus on how we should be proceeding in difficult times. That we should see the efforts in a community context and not just a certain area of the community, the community-wide, the inclusiveness of the community process of dealing with problems or issues, concerns. Community-wide shura, what is that? Consulting, conferring. Putting our heads together to come up with answers This, you know, they say two heads are better than one. Well, we need as many good, sober-minded heads as we can get to deal with these critical issues that are confronting us, and an awareness that these heads have to be sober-minded. There's so much that the social environment is contributing to our not being able to confer in a sober-minded way. There's so much fear talk going on now. You know, fear, you know, you hear the so-called cultural voices, you know, the talking heads. And every time you turn around, it's fear this thing or fear the other thing. Well, fear is a tool that helps to keep us alive, but it has to be, you know, it has to be dealt with in a sober manner so that it doesn't paralyze us or restrict us or cause us not to be able to think in a rational way. When fear excites our emotions and we start making decisions based on our feelings, based on, you know, our mortal constitution, you know, well, you know, that's important. You have to protect your life. You know, we're mortals. You know, we can get hit by a car. You know, there's so many things that can happen to us in this life that can harm our life or restrict our life. But we don't wake up every morning meeting the world in fear, you know. There's a proactive way of addressing fear, you know. A lot of these young people that Allah has blessed to come into the world that are having a lot of difficulties because their mind is not developed to a point where mature enough to understand the subtleties of the life environment that they're living within. You know, it's difficult for them to understand. So a lot of these young men out here, you know, they're frustrated. You know, they look at our condition as a group, and they're frustrated and disappointed. And many of us are older men in terms of how far we've gotten along in terms of addressing critical issues in the neighborhood. And there's a lot of disappointment. And they're gathering themselves in groups. And because they're not mature in terms of their thinking, they have these really extreme ideas about respect. And with these extreme ideas, we see a lot of these youngsters harming themselves and others, you know, taking the life of others. You know, they don't understand how the Creator has designed the life, how we're to live the life, that the life was meant to challenge us, to help us get physical, for the men, the physical and mental muscles to deal with the challenges of life. Many of them weren't taught that, how to problem solve and the like. So we've got a lot of work in front of us in terms of critical issues. And we've heard a number of people address the idea that we need to look at the environmental conditions that are producing all this gun violence. What are the conditions that are producing the spirit and the mentality to take up a gun and to harm another human life? What are the conditions? A lot of what we're seeing, there's a lot of commercial money being made off of very violent and I would even say savage video game. You know, there's certain video presentations or these PlayStations and the like. There's certain presentations that you can find healthy entertainment value in, but some of these videos, carjackings and the wanton taking of life, simulated taking of life by way of the games, you know, is creating an environment inside the soul that is not responding healthily to, and I see a caller here, not responding healthily to the realities of life, how God created life. And there's so much directing us towards man and man's environment that we're not able to connect, and we're not being invited to connect with the creation-supported logic that we find in Mother Nature. And I'm going to stop there. 914-434, welcome. State your name and where you're calling from.
Yeah, this is Muhammad Sharif calling from Auburn, New York. Assalamu alaikum.
Welcome. Alaikum assalam. Thank you for tuning in. Come on in.
Yeah, I know I'm kind of late calling. What happens, you know, we are all wicked fast. Then you have your meal, make your prayer, have your meal, and pressure's really on, you know. So anyway, I just thought I would mention, I just heard the book, The Negro Market.
What's it called?
That's called The Negro Market.
Okay, and what about it?
It came out in 1932.
Uh-huh.
That was...
Go ahead.
Only about 4 years, I mean, a few years after the massacre, Wall Street Massacre, 1921, and about 4 years later, around 1924 or 25, the Negro Market bounced back. And we have so much information in this book about the Negro Market, of all the things that we accomplished, the businesses, housing, the hotels, the banks, and all of that we established in about 4 years after the massacre. So we're hoping everyone will get this book. You know, Ma'am Shahid Abdullah, he's the one that I first heard about a few years ago. So anyway, this is the set that he's pushing. I know, have you heard about it, Brother Michael?
No, I haven't. This, you know, I remember you mentioning it on air before.
Yeah.
And but I had not heard about it until you mentioned it.
Uh-huh.
Well, and who's the author? Who's the author again?
It's presented by the WB Ziff, Ziff Company, WB Ziff Company in Atlanta, Chicago, in New York.
Came okay.
Out in 1932.
All right.
Uh-huh. So this will let us know.
And how do you get a copy?
Oh yeah, go to the Muslim Journal. I think it started around September. He started advertising like a half page on the back page. This is around September. October, those months issues of the Muslim Journal. And that's where we've been advertising it.
All right.
Because, mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Right. And matter of fact, he's been on Sister Khalida's program a number of times for weeks. Every week he was coming on. He was the number one presenter. And now they're moving to another level. They're getting ready to do a big program. I think it's in Charleston, South Carolina, or somewhere in the Carolinas. But anyway, he's enough on Sister Khalida's program. So anyway, take that, go there and you find out with the program, they're going to the next movement. Yeah. So,
okay, I appreciate that.
Thank you for taking
time. How are things going there where you are?
It's going good and bad. You know, it's like it's good and bad.
Explain.
Is that, I mean by that now, well, those who, I said, really believe in what they have in Scripture, by what happened to different communities, some that obey, some did not obey, now going back to Noah, Suede, who people, Thamud, all these different communities, Moses, Noah, Abraham, those who believed were saved, and those who did not believe were destroyed. And that's where we are now today. You know, those who believe and those who do not believe. That's the destruction right here in America. And America is being saved also. There are two things going on at the same time. Like that book you was when we studied, we were going through high school, A Tale of Two Cities. And that's what he is now, the tale of two worlds. A new world is coming in, and an old world is going out.
I agree.
Thank you, Shalom. I think I'm willing on the right side. Somebody got to save America. We're not going to let America go. And we are the best ones with the knowledge that we have, you know, from Scripture, from the Quran.
Yes.
We're the best ones just to save America.
I agree. Because the message that the Creator has blessed us with is so clear. And we're invited to be selective with the message. Almighty God says, take the best thereof. So what circumstances are we meeting? Okay. Well, what's the best message in the guidance that I can take to utilize to help solve a problem or meet the challenge and so forth? You know, we're called and invited to use our own judgment and the other gifts that God has given us in terms of discernment to go into the guidance and seek out the best answer for what we're facing. And then we, as an association, we've been invited to invite our brothers and sisters of other scriptures, of classical scripture, invite them to do the same. And when I was given that advice from Imam Muhammad, he told a group in a lecture that we should share this advice that God gives us with our brothers and sisters of faith in Christianity. And I thought about it, and from time to time, I read the Holy Bible, and I was directed in my search to find 2 Timothy. And 2 Timothy gives a similar advice, an invitation to rightly divide the word of God. And I said, well, that sounds like what God is telling us in the Quran, you know. And you can't do that even in terms of God inviting us to be selective, to take the best thereof. It would still be wise to ask for his help, don't you think? Guide me to what's best in the scripture for me to utilize at this particular, with this particular issue that I'm dealing with. So I see the same for the people of the book, you know, to find the need to ask the Creator for help in selecting the guidance that we need to solve these issues that we're facing. I stop there. Okay, brother, there he is. Okay, you're back. Yeah, your call fell off.
Oh yeah, dropped off.
Go ahead.
I hit the wrong button. Yeah, my mistake. Hit the wrong button.
Okay. I've done it myself. Go ahead.
Yes, so my wife had just brought me a copy of the journal where Imam Shahid Abdullah has a set of books, $100 value for only $70. It's on the back of the September 3rd through the 9th issue of the journal. Also on the October the 3rd through the 7th issue of the journal that advertises those five books. And that probably Negro Market is one of them. Yes, so you can go on those copies. You can get them. You go directly to him. Just look on those, in those two, back of those two journals. Last week in September, first week in October. Four-page advertisement on the back. On the back.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Yeah, tomorrow.
You're quite welcome.
Tomorrow is Juma, and
right,
we're looking
yes.
forward to the Juma prayer and the blessings that come from that. But we're just thankful and grateful. We appreciate you, Brother Muhammad. We appreciate the fact that you are engaged in business and that you support AM360 by your commercial that I attempt to play every time that the program comes on, to invite people to give you a call to support your business, Rain International, is it? Is that
yeah,
correct?
Right. Rain International. Yeah, Rain
yes.
International. You just put in the RAININTAL. Seed Nutrition. That's a new platform called Seed Nutrition. And I thank you, Michael, for
yes.
promoting, for helping me to promote this idea of Seed Nutrition. People coming in by the thousands, all the continents, Asia, Africa, Europe, even the Muslim countries, Singapore, Malaysia. I mean, it's growing, and people, their health is improving. So their health is improving and wealth. I mean, people come from nowhere into nine figures income, come from nowhere. I mean, it's an opportunity.
Yes.
It's an opportunity. Praise be to Allah. Thank you for your support pushing this idea.
Well, we appreciate it's mutual. The support is mutual because we appreciate the fact that you're advertising on 360.org. This is very important. We need more businessmen and women to support the efforts, and we've got to find a way to stimulate the public, our Muslim public in particular, but the public in general, to stimulate them to support decent, community-minded businessmen and women. We have to have that. No community life can be successfully sustained without business operations and the community members supporting those businesses, providing useful products and services that will help the lives of the families in the community, and the purchasing of those services and goods, helping to sustain the business and helping to grow that business life. And the business life, as it grows to a certain point, it can support the community life efforts that cannot sustain themselves without the business help. Education is one of those things. Education, healthy, inspiring cultural expressions, like the poetry of Brother Bilal Abdullah out of New Orleans, Bilal the poet, and music, song, artwork, plays, and the like. These are cultural expressions that we see expressing themselves in our social life, but some of those cultural expressions, many of them, are not healthy. You know, I remember, I don't watch these comedies, what they call situation comedies. And they
mm-hmm.
had a number of them. They had a number of those things on when I was raising children. And I had to make sure that the children weren't watching certain programs where you had little sassy little girls talking back to grown folks, you know.
Yes.
And the kind of influences that those kinds of things, you know, they're making a joke, but the jokes are affecting, you know, the thinking and the spirit of the family. You know, it's affecting how the children relate to their mama and daddy, you know, how they relate to one another, just sassy and disrespectful. And we have to be aware of these environmental influences that are coming into our home, you know, and because of numerous factors, you know, we've allowed influences to come into our homes that are actually destroying our houses from our homes from within, you know. And we see these influences that not only destroying our homes, but it's destroying the home life, the family life, the social life, the community life of America, you know, and the changing of language, you know. People are free to do what they want to do, but they are not free to introduce ideas, unnatural ideas, that have not been sustainable in healthy societies. They are not free to propagate those ideas without being challenged. And all of this conversation about they and them, call me this, gender is a cultural, is a social construct. Hell no. Gender is biology. Male, female, masculine, feminine, male, female gender is known since the creation of man. Allah says that He has created us in pairs, and the pairs that we've seen that cause life to be reproduced on the earth is man and woman coming together in the social construct that has been established as marriage. And it was a shame, in my way of thinking, it was a shame that the government officials were pressured into establishing man and man and woman marriages being legalized, that the issues that they were dealing with could have been dealt with without undermining the social construct of marriage, because marriage has a long history of male and female coming together in sacred union. So there's been a lot of disruption. There's been a lot of acceptance of destructive language to confuse particularly the young men. Manhood has been under attack for years and years now. You know, the language in the music, you know, baby, baby, please. Now you got him pleading like he's pleading with God, you know, and who's he pleading to? He's pleading to a woman, you know, begging her, putting himself in a position where that kind of expression used to be just for the Lord, you know, Lord, please, Lordy, Lordy, please, please. Now you're begging a woman, you know, you're begging her. You know, it's unacceptable for a healthy society. Now, people can do what they want to do, but we see the results of it every day. You know, the disrespect for manhood, the disrespect of womanhood, the invitation of women to be more like men, you know, to challenge men, you know, and the different the physicalizing of women, you know, looking at them as purely sexual objects. All of these things are critical issues that we have to find a way to address. And Imam Muhammad told us, you know, this world needs to see what real human beings look like. If we only do that, that will be a big help. When we're in the public, let the public see what true human beings look like and how they deal with the issues, how they deal with good times and how they deal with challenging times. people need to see these things. Muhammad?
I'm still here.
I know. I was turning the mic over to you.
I was saying, with this saying, definitely writing, is some we have to stand up. We have to stand up and fight this back. So that's what it says, those who know are responsible, those who do not know. We know, and we are responsible for those who do not know. Right?
That's true.
So the rich is responsible for the poor.
Yeah.
The strong is responsible for the weak. Those three things, the rich is responsible for the poor, those who know are responsible for those who do not know, and the strong is responsible for the weak.
Yeah.
That's us. That's us. We have to take that stand. It may not be comfortable, but we have to take it.
Yeah. Well, our people were put in a position after being emptied out from the historical connections with Africa and being taught in such a way to make us more and more dependent, and not only dependent, but dysfunctional. But that of challenge also, if we look at it correctly, was a benefit, because the only help that we had was our calling out on Almighty God to help us. And in the dark days, it didn't look like we were getting any kind of answer. But now that the light has been shining, we see that God has helped us as a group. We still have dysfunctional issues to deal with, but we've got more, as I said earlier in the program, African Americans have got more education and more material resources than any other group in what's called the African diaspora, the group of peoples from whose origins was Africa, whether they're in South America, Mexico, Central America, wherever they are. The African Americans have been rewarded for the great stress and savage treatment that our ancestors have gone through. It actually, those conditions have favored us with qualities to help us to win. If we could only look at it right, you know, you've seen it on the basketball and football fields and what have you, you know, where one player tries to psych another player out off his game, you know, and African Americans have been psyched out to the point where, you know, we're looking at ourselves as victims. No, God didn't allow us to go through that, to take up a victim's mindset. The mindset is to see that the Creator has blessed us to come through that and to come into this new light of day with qualities and abilities that will help us, if we use them correctly, take us into a healthy and productive future. And in order to do that, we got to help America. You know,
that's right.
Why you want to go somewhere else? You know, yes, there's a lot of troubling things going on in America, but a lot of what is happening and taking place, if we intelligently unite ourselves with one another, with right-minded people that look like us and some that don't look like us, if we do that, we'd be surprised how much these savage behaving folks will change their tune. All we have to do is stand up.
That's all.
We have to stand
up.
So all praises to Allah. We thank Allah for Ramadan, you know. Ramadan creates a special environment every year. A special environment is created based obedience to Almighty God's instructions. And he does need our help, but he offers us the great opportunity to serve his will and plan for his world and for the for the people that he has created, the human family. That's a great honor.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
And Ramadan
yes,
helps yes, sir. Ramadan helps to sensitize us to that that fact that God didn't make any junk. He created the human being to be excellent. And if we get this message out, as we get this message out, there are more and more people that are ready for it. Islam is not a religion proper. Islam is not an organized religion. Islam is a way of life. And that's what people are looking for. They're looking for something to help them improve their life. They're tired of the organized, a religious life where you give your money, you know, you give your monies, and you don't even get the message of stay away from sin anymore. You know, you're getting all these other kinds of messages. You're not even getting the messages about the Ten Commandments and what not to do. You know, there's certain behavior that God says is unacceptable. We're not
right.
even getting those kind of messages anymore.
Right. You're right.
Yes,
Brother Michael says it in all the religions, what you should do and should not do.
That's,
all religions tell you
right.
what's right and
that's,
what's wrong.
That's right.
You know? Mm-hmm. Right. Concerning
yes,
Ramadan,
well, listen,
everybody knows Ramadan. You know, when we came in the 60s and 70s, well, everybody knew about Ramadan. But now you go, everybody know about Ramadan now. Matter of fact, just go in on Google or whatever your search engine is, but what is Ramadan? And then you'll be
yeah.
told about what's Ramadan. I mean, you see it being watched all over the world. I mean, just go to Google,
yeah.
you know, and now you find people everywhere like you about Ramadan. Matter of fact, I was out a couple of days ago, and first time I come, and so he saw me say, what you doing? I said, my name is Muhammad. Muhammad said, you Muslim? I said, yeah. I said, well, I got to go now. I'm leaving. Running behind. Almost time. He said, What's Ramadan? I said, the person right here, this thing doing business with. He said, no, you tell me. Tell me,
yeah.
man, what's Ramadan? So he was asking about it. They won't let you leave until you tell about Ramadan.
Yes, sir. Praise to Allah. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Listen, we've got one more public service announcement to do before we conclude. We thank the listening audience for joining us. We'll be back after these messages.
See the full picture.
Feel the void.
Read the Muslim Journal.
Bringing humanity together.
It's news with truth.
It's journalism with understanding.
Each week, Muslim Journal features the latest headline stories. Get a fresh perspective on American politics with informative editorials on the news and stories that affect you and your community the most. Muslim Journal also features exciting reports from around the globe. Subscribe to the Muslim Journal and stay informed about the world we live in today.
See the full picture.
Subscribe to the Muslim Journal today.
We're back with more of Not Just Talk. If you're just tuning in to Not Just Talk, you've just about missed it. We're going to invite you to join us again next week. Next Thursday, I think that'll be the last presentation. No. My apologies. I'm right. Let me look and see. Yes, calendar here. No, we've got two more we've only got one more Thursday before the Ramadan, inshallah. Allah knows best. But we're looking at the 20th as being our last Not Just Talk in the month of Ramadan. And we thank you for joining us and supporting us. Muhammad, any last words before we close out?
I just like to say, thanks Allah for giving us Ramadan. Thank you. Just reminding us, Michael, thank Allah for Ramadan. We need it every year. When it gets close to it on that last week, the first week before Ramadan starts, like I said, come on, come on, Ramadan, we need it. We're right on the brink of the pit of fire, and Ramadan comes in right in time every year.
I agree. Thank you so much, Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak.
Wa alaikum assalam, Ramadan Mubarak.
Okay, dear listeners, this is your host, Michael Hameen, inviting you to come back next week for more of Not Just Talk. And we hope that you will join us and share your Ramadan experience and Ramadan expression, as well as any other thoughts that you'd like to contribute to the program. Thank you so much for joining us. We close out with a supplication to Almighty God. O Allah, guide us among those you've guided aright. Save us among those you save. Bless us in whatever you give us and deliver us from the harm that you judge. You judge and none can judge against you. And those whom you befriend are not disgraced. Assalamu alaikum and thank you again.
Historic, had to give his heart to a love through.